Back here in SportsCenter, UFC superstar John Bones Jones was arrested last night in New Mexico. Among the charges the longtime light heavyweight champ faces include aggravated DWI, neglectful use of a firearm, and possession of an open container. The 32-year-old was released from custody this morning.
John Jones is in trouble again. The UFC light heavyweight champion continues to find himself in the spotlight for all the wrong reasons. A sharp departure from when he burst onto the scene nearly a decade ago and seemed destined to be the media-friendly face of mixed martial arts. Today, Ariel Helwani tells the story of how Jones went from boasting a squeaky clean image to repeatedly getting into trouble with the law, and why he could have been the greatest to ever enter the octagon if he had only stayed out of his own way. I'm Mina Kimes. It's Tuesday, March 31st. This is ESPN Daily. Ariel, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mina. How are you?
I only have one question. Do you think Carol Baskin killed her husband?
I don't know who that is.
Oh my God. Ariel, Tiger King. Have you not watched Tiger King?
Mina, I have three children under the age of seven. I feel like my head is going to explode.
Ariel Helwani covers MMA for ESPN and has reported on John Jones for more than a decade. Let's talk about John Jones. John Jones is the UFC light heavyweight champion. He was arrested last Thursday in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He was charged with aggravated DWI and negligent use of a firearm. Tell us why this is such a massive story in the world of mixed martial arts.
Well, Mina, it's a massive story because in many people's eyes, he is not only the best fighter in the world today, he's the best fighter of all time. John Jones is the youngest champion in UFC history, and that record still stands. He won the belt back in 2011 when he was just 23 years young.
And it is all over! John Jones is the youngest champion in UFC history!
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the future.
He comes from a family of great athletes, Arthur Jones, Chandler Jones, his brothers, who are tremendous NFL players. John, especially early on in his UFC career, just went through a who's who of legends, just completely dismantled and annihilated all these former champions.
John Jones has defended his UFC light heavyweight championship. He stops Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Wow. And so when someone of this stature gets into trouble with the law, and then when you consider his past transgressions, both legally and within the sport, it's a big deal because once again, he finds himself in hot water.
To put this in context for those who don't follow MMA, who would you compare him to in other sports?
So the comparison that I have made time and again, two people come to mind. Doc Gooden, the great pitcher for the New York Mets, of course, and later on the Yankees, and his teammate from back in the day, Daryl Strawberry. Two athletes who were incredibly talented, had amazing ability, who were all-stars, legends, etc., but couldn't get out of their own way, right? But I'll take it one step further. He, in our sport, is much better than Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry were in their sport. He is our LeBron James, our Michael Jordan. I sit here and tell you that he's the greatest of all time, and I also sit here and wonder how much better he could have been, because I really do believe he could have been and done so much more had he not done this to himself.
How did you find out about this latest arrest?
This was a unique one. It's never quite happened this way. So I don't know if you know this. Well, you probably know this because you're a really big deal. But if you have Instagram, I think if you're verified, you have this. If you're not, you don't have this. But I have something where I have like my DMs, and then I have like another folder where you have that. Like the, I call it the cesspool.
I try not to look at those.
Exactly. Hence the cesspool name that I've given it. And I'll go there maybe once a week or so and just see what's going on. And honestly, sometimes there's interesting things going on there. Anyhow, Thursday, I don't know what prompted me to go there, but I went there, maybe because we have a lot of time on our hands these days. And I saw a message from someone saying, John Jones arrested. And I clicked on it, and there was a picture there of John Jones, not him in a jail cell, but it's clear that he's sitting next to a guy who is handcuffed and he's just lying down. And, you know, I thanked the guy for the tip, and I then called his manager. And when I called his manager, he said right away, without even saying hello, he said, no comment. And I said, How do you know why I'm calling? He goes, I know exactly why you're calling. I said, there's nothing out there. How do you, I could be calling about anything. I could be calling, see how you're doing. And he goes, I know exactly why you're calling. Why are you calling? And I said, John Jones. And he said, yes, we have no comment.
UFC star John Jones was arrested in New Mexico for alleged aggravated DWI and negligent use of a firearm early Thursday morning. This according to a representative for the Albuquerque Police Department. Jones was released from custody later Thursday morning.
What did you eventually find out about the details of that arrest?
He was approached at 1 a.m. Local time Thursday morning. He was sitting in a black Jeep, and the officer in the report wrote that he saw an open bottle of alcohol behind the passenger seat. And what drew them to this car was that they heard a gunshot just a few minutes earlier. John said that he didn't know what the gunshot was about, but they did find a gun in his car. They asked him to come out of the car. They also said that they found some greeny, leafy-like substance on him, which appeared to be some kind of drug. And they asked him to do a sobriety test.
Okay. All right, so I have to do a DWI investigation.
And on Friday, the police footage actually was released, and he doesn't perform very well.
You're going to recite the alphabet, starting with letter E as in Edward, and with letter P as in Paul.
E-F-G-H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P-H.
And so eventually they said that they had to put him under arrest because he failed. And that's when it actually gets a little uncomfortable and sad to watch, because he starts to cry, it appears.
You want to take it off yourself?
No, okay. I just want you guys to feel comfortable.
This is a guy who, like I said, is in many people's eyes the greatest of all time and still on top of the world, still the champion, just fought over a month ago. And it sounded like he was scared and worried about what this would all mean. Was just kind of a sad thing to watch. So then he was taken to, you know, to a local jail, and he was released several hours later. He has a hearing coming up on April 8th, and that's when we'll find out the next steps for John Jones.
And still the undisputed.
You mentioned that it was just over 1 month ago that he defended and retained his light heavyweight title at UFC 247 against Dominic Reyes. Before that fight, you flew out to New Mexico to interview him. What was he like back then?
Yeah, so I spoke to him 8 days before the fight in Albuquerque. Sat down, we spoke for around 30 to 40 minutes. And if you're watching this for the first time, you'll say to yourself, wow, he's saying all the right things.
I think my best days are definitely still ahead of me. I feel like I'm just now really getting to a nice groove of what it means to be a father and a professional athlete and a person with great responsibility.
But there were a few warning signs for me. Number one, he said that, you know, he was still drinking while in camp.
Everyone's always wondering about your sobriety or what you're doing. Where does that stand right now?
Sobriety, I mean, I'm like 90% of the UFC roster.
What does that mean?
Just your average guy. I'm just like everybody else. I have beers on the weekends, and but I work really hard.
This is a guy who has had, you know, issues with alcohol and other substances in the past. And to me, if you're training for a high level title fight, you should probably not be drinking.
Do you cut it off before the fight at some point?
Absolutely.
So like
Absolutely.
Here we are a little over a week. Mm-hmm. Is that no more?
You know, I got my traditions, you okay. know.
What's that?
I got my traditions.
What's the tradition?
You know, I do my thing.
Okay.
For someone who covers him, I'm appreciative of the fact that he's open about this and he's being honest, but there were some, you know, warning signs there. And so I felt like something could happen again, like that he wasn't the changed man that he truly was saying that he was. And to me, that was a little concerning.
Johnny Bones Jones!
Truly, the sky is the limit for unbeaten Johnny Bones Jones.
When did you meet him for the very first time?
I met John Jones for the first time in 2009, going into his third UFC fight. And I'll never forget running into him in one of the hallways at the Mandalay Bay Event Center in Las Vegas. And, you know, there was a story that was kind of circulating about John that, you know, he didn't really have like a proper team surrounding him who was helping him train for these fights. And so we were talking about that, and he's like, oh man, that's Crew Phil Nurse over there. And Crew Phil Nurse is a great Muay Thai trainer. And I was like, oh yeah, that's Phil Nurse. He's like, oh, I'm such a big fan of his. I've watched his videos. He's a legend, all that stuff. And I was like, do you know him? And he said, no, do you? And I said, yes. Do you want me to introduce you to him? And he's like, oh, would you do that for me? Like, he was just like a shy, kind of anxious kid who was just happy to be there, right? The early times when I would interview him, like even his lip would quiver a little bit.
At your age, at your stage in the game right now, did you ever think you'd be on the cusp of being the UFC light heavyweight champion?
You know what? I'm definitely not afraid of it. I know it's very possible. Right now, I just need to keep the people close to me that's always been there. And I realize that there's going to be a lot more distractions coming my way, but I'm prepared for it mentally. And I promise myself that I won't allow myself to fall by the wayside.
When he wins the belt in March of 2011, becoming the youngest champion in UFC history, he was actually at a park in Newark meditating, and he witnessed an old lady getting mugged by a criminal. And he ends up chasing down this criminal and jumping on him, apprehending him, and getting the guy arrested. And so at the post-fight press conference, he's telling us about his day. Like, guys, you'll never believe what happened to me today. I'm meditating. I'm praying for my fight. I take down a criminal, and now I'm the youngest champion ever. And we're all sitting in the media room, and we're like, this guy's like straight out of a movie. Like, he's incredibly talented. He's good-looking. He takes down muggers before his title fights. Like, this is a gift from God, from the UFC. And it felt like early on, he wanted us to think of him as this sort of choir boy, goody two shoes. Like, he really tried to play up that image of the guy who took down the mugger because it was just such a perfect story. In 2012, he was the first MMA fighter to get signed by Nike, and someone asked him on the conference call, why do you think they chose you? Why are you the guy? And he goes, because they don't have to worry about me. I'm not the guy who's going to go and get in trouble and get arrested. A month later, he had his first serious DWI, wrapped his Bentley around a pole with two other people in the car.
John Bones Jones was arrested and charged with a DWI early Saturday morning. Binghamton police received reports of a car crashed into the corner of Grand Boulevard and Helen Street around 5 a.m. Saturday morning. Police told Action News.
And that's when it all kind of, you know, started to go downhill from him.
Coming up, how will John Jones' missteps, both in and out of the octagon, affect his legacy? We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
So Ariel, in 2012, John Jones gets his first DUI. What happens after that? Is he still successful as a fighter?
Yeah, he's still very much, you know, on top of the sport. He's still the UFC champion. It's somewhat shocking because of the timing. It was like, what, John Jones? You know, he's the choir boy. He's the squeaky clean guy. He's the guy that, you know, the UFC is picking. But then we get to a fight against Alexander Gustafsson in September of 2013 in Toronto. And that, to me, is the best UFC fight of all time.
See the blood rolling down the right side of John Jones's face.
Gustafsson with the takedown.
First time in the UFC.
By Gustafsson. That's incredible.
We had never seen John in these types of tough situations. John digs down deep and wins a razor thin decision. And everyone's like, holy smokes, he really got lucky on that one. You know, he skirted by the skin of his teeth.
The winner and still champion, John Jones. How good did that feel when you heard that?
Man, I tell you what, I've been asking for a dog fight for a long time, and I finally got that dog fight I've been looking for.
2 years later, he tells me that things were going so bad for him. And he was saying, you remember that fight against Gustafson in Toronto? I partied the whole week leading up to that fight. And I would drive an hour away from where I was staying in Toronto to go do whatever and party. And he said, I'll never forget walking out to the cage that night and telling myself, I can't believe I'm about to lose my belt. I can't believe I did this to myself. I can't believe I didn't take this fight seriously. It's just amazing when you go back and look at him walking out to the cage, knowing that that's what he's saying to himself. Here he is getting ready for a massive fight, a title fight. He's headlining the show and he's still going out there and partying.
So by this point, Ariel, 2013, 14, 15, the choir boy image you described when you first met John Jones seems to be gone, right? It's mask off.
Yes, and it fully comes off in August of 2014 because now he's pitted against a guy named Daniel Cormier. For the longest time, we were wondering, okay, who's the Joe Frazier to his Muhammad Ali? Who's going to be the guy who's going to really be his foil, right? Because every great needs a foil. And it ends up being Daniel Cormier, this two-time Olympian, who's truly kind of like a squeaky clean, you know, we call him the daddest man on the planet, not the baddest man on the planet, because he's just like kind of a wholesome character. But they did not get along. And they have a media event at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and they do a face-off in the lobby of the MGM Grand. And for this particular one, Dana White wasn't there, and so they had one of their PR guys stand in between them. Well, that guy proved to be a non-factor in this because right away they go forehead to forehead, and the whole thing just turns into a massive melee. People are throwing punches. I mean, it was just an ugly, ugly scene. Literally minutes later, they put them in separate rooms at the MGM Grand to do a satellite media tour. And at one point, John says to Daniel,
hey, are you still there?
And they go back and forth.
I wish they would let me next door so I can spit in your face.
You know I would absolutely kill you if you ever did something like that,
you
right?
You could never kill me.
Oh, I bet you I could.
Then you should try, John. You really should try, John.
No, I would literally kill you if you spit in my face.
Yeah, let's try that, John.
Literally kill you.
Let's try that, John.
And we had never heard John speak like that before. That was the first time that people were like, okay, this is the guy. And to be honest, people weren't mad about it. They were like, okay, this is the guy. Like, now we know who he is. And that's great. Stop trying to put on an act. But that was like the clear moment. Not so much even the DUI or some of the other incidents. It was that interaction with DC that people pointed to. They were like, okay, this is how he speaks. This is how he acts. Great. Now let's move on.
So what happened when they eventually fought?
They eventually fought in January. And it was, to be honest, somewhat one-sided. John won 4-1. And afterwards, you know, John showed no mercy whatsoever.
I don't like Daniel Cormier. I don't respect Daniel Cormier. I hope he's somewhere crying right now. I'm sure he is. Can't wait till he earns his way back so I can whoop him again.
He was not a gracious winner that night, let's put it that way. And amazingly, just a few days after the fight, we find out that he tested positive for the main metabolite in cocaine prior to the fight. And again, it's like, whoa, wait a second. John Jones had cocaine in his system? Like, what was he doing? And when was he doing this?
How long was he able to stay out of trouble after that?
Unfortunately for him, not very long.
John Bones Jones finds himself in some trouble. Albuquerque police believe he's the person who caused a 3-car accident Sunday morning, then ran from the scene.
A few months later, in April of 2015, we find out that he was involved in a hit and run in Albuquerque and ended up injuring a pregnant woman in the other vehicle. And then we start finding out about the details where, you know, he gets involved in this hit and run and gets out of his car and runs out of the car and then came back to the car, took money out of the car, allegedly didn't check on the victim. And this was the lowest of the low. You know, here's a guy again, still the champion, the man, just beat Daniel Cormier. Okay, the cocaine incident. And it's like, man, now you got into a hit and run and you left the car by foot and you didn't even check on the other person. And in September, he's sentenced to 18 months of supervised probation, but doesn't actually spend any time in jail. And shortly thereafter, in November of 2015, I was able to get the first interview with John Jones. And that day, we went for a walk in the park and talked about everything. And he was very open.
You're still in the prime of your career.
Right.
The world still considers you, for the most part, the greatest of all time. They still consider you the best fighter living today. Do you recognize the fact that when this is all said and done, this could be a footnote in your story and not what defines you because it's only happening relatively soon in your career?
Right. in a way, I'm grateful because I get to recognize my mistakes. I get to assess what's made me, not necessarily the best role model. I get to, assess that and I get to alter that.
And honestly, I'll be 100% honest in saying, like, I walked away and I was like, I believe him. I believe that he's apologetic. I believe that he recognizes how dumb that was, how big of a mistake it was. And I believe that he wants to change. And people view that as like, all right, John is back. Let's go.
So John apologizes for his various missteps, and he also gets booked for a rematch with Cormier at one of the biggest events in MMA history, UFC 200. Did he have any luck fixing his image heading into that fight?
It doesn't happen at UFC 200 because on the Wednesday evening before the fight, the United States Anti-Doping Agency announces that John Jones has been flagged for a doping violation and they were pulling him from the cards.
The UFC organization was notified tonight that the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency has informed John Jones of a potential anti-doping policy violation.
And so Dana White holds a press conference, an impromptu press conference on the Wednesday before the fight, announces that the fight is off. Shocking. I mean, I can't even like properly state just how big UFC 200 was for them. It was just a monumental event. Then Thursday morning, they bring out John Jones. He holds a press conference and is in tears and can hardly speak and is apologetic.
I believe that something good will come from this. But right now, it's hard to see it. I'm sorry that I'm crying.
Just, there's a ton of questions about him and whatnot. And so, again, now his future is very much in doubt.
It's one thing to talk about John Jones' rap sheet, but he has also had multiple positive tests surrounding PEDs, like the one you just mentioned, and one at UFC 214, where he was stripped of his title again. How does his PED use square with the notion of him being the best to ever do it?
That's a phenomenal question, Mina, because at that point, like now we're talking, 2016, it is unanimous that he is not only the best fighter on the planet, he is the best fighter of all time. Like, no one is saying otherwise. But wait a second. Now we're talking about PEDs. We're talking about banned substances. We're talking about things that can actually affect your performance. And it 100% raised a lot of questions and doubts about his resume and what he had accomplished. And to me, it was a black cloud. And honestly, it was around that point where I started to change my opinion, because I strongly feel like if you're a fighter, you can't be considered the greatest of all time if you have PED infractions on your resume. Like, you can be considered a great, but not the greatest, in my opinion. And so this is when his actual athletic endeavors and accomplishments start to be called into question as well.
So we can keep talking about John Jones and his history of crimes and failings and how he got into those situations, Ariel, but the UFC kept letting him back. What do you make of that? The fact that they have, continued to, I guess, give him these opportunities over a very long period of time now.
Yeah, they most certainly have. And that's been sort of their standard operating procedure. I mean, when you're a big star, you get a lot of leeway with UFC. You have to understand, a lot of people compare Dana White to Roger Goodell or Adam Silver. Dana White is not Roger Goodell. He is not Adam Silver. He is not a commissioner. He is an owner. He is Jerry Jones. He is James Dolan. I'm only mentioning those guys because they're very famous. I'm not trying to say that he has a personality like them. Imagine if those kinds of owners were left to decide what the punishments were going to be for their star athletes, their moneymakers, if you will. There's no independent body overseeing the UFC. There's no independent body deciding who's going to get suspended for what and how long that suspension is going to be for. So yeah, every time he was clear to come back, they are out there promoting him in the biggest fights possible, giving him the biggest opportunities, the title fights and whatnot. There's no sentiment that like, oh my God, we can't do this anymore. We're going to release the guy. You know why they won't release him? Because Bellator or another organization that is trying to compete with the UFC would sign him in a millisecond, and they would never give up a guy like John Jones to the competition.
Given that you know, UFC is still a growing sport, that they're trying to attract new fans. Do you think there's any concern there about, you know, John Jones and his image and how that might reflect upon the organization?
I think there's a little bit of concern, but I don't get the sense that there's a strong movement within the company to get rid of John Jones. I don't get the sense that everyone is saying they're like, you know, he's really dragging us through the mud, or we can't be in business with this guy. But I do get the sense that, you know, come on, John, like, can you just figure this out? Like, what do we need to do here? Like, what is going on exactly?
Ariel, you said at the beginning of this interview that John Jones is arguably the greatest pound-for-pound fighter in UFC history. Given everything that's happened, all of the controversies, do you think he'll be remembered that way?
Oh, man, that's it's such a tough question. I will just say this. I don't consider him the greatest ever anymore, and it's not because of his run-ins with the law. It's because of the PED use. But of course, as far as his legacy, like, we can't talk about John anymore as just the fighter. What truly scares me for him is what happens when he's in his 40s. What happens when no one's asking him to fight anymore, when no one's offering him these multi-million dollar paydays, when no one's offering him to go to a convention to do autographs. What happens when he's truly alone? That's what truly scares me. And when you look at what's happened to the likes of Doc Gooden and other athletes, when the music stops playing and when the crowds go away, that's when they really start to get into trouble. And so that worries me a lot about John Jones. And I hope for his sake that he's able to figure it out, because he is so talented. He is so good at what he does, yet he keeps hurting himself.
Thanks so much, Ariel.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mina.
Coming up, there's no sports for just about anyone right now, but you can still stay active. Hi, guys. Given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup, so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply. Here's another story I want you to know. If, like me, you have been getting somewhere between 10 and 20 FAQs about coronavirus emailed to you every day by a parent, you've probably learned a lot about the do's and don'ts of social distancing. But one thing I've been wondering about was how and whether I could stay active. You may have seen videos of athletes training at home with fancy equipment. I recommend searching Joey Gallo batting practice on Twitter. But for those of us who don't have home gyms, exercise is not easy right now. And you might be wondering, can I go to a tennis court or a trail? Can I go jogging with other people? Well, our Tisha Thompson has some answers. For example, you might think tennis is a perfect sport for the 6-foot distance limit, but according to Lauren Sauer, the director of critical event preparedness and response at Johns Hopkins, who spoke to Tisha for the piece, droplets of saliva or sweat that land on the ball, net, or racket can pass on the virus. According to Sauer, other no-goes include jogging with a neighbor or having your kids play together, unless they can truly stay 6 feet apart, which seems challenging. Any sporting equipment made from plastic or steel should be avoided. Sauer even says the virus can get into the seams on soccer balls, baseballs, and volleyballs, where they can survive any sort of antibacterial cleaning. She recommends avoiding places like the beach, because even if you're alone or with your family, you might inadvertently touch a railing or ramp. So I realize all of that is terrifying and doesn't sound like it gives you many opportunities to work out. But before you resign yourself to a life of sitting on the couch and watching Tiger King for the 10th time, Sauer says you can go for a run, walk, or hike as long as you feel you have a sufficiently wide berth from others, since talking, coughing, sweating, sneezing can leave particles in the air. She also suggests taking up exercise inside the house. There are gyms and fitness centers posting workouts online. I'd also refer you to my friend and colleague Damian Woody's TikTok account for some guidance. Now, I'm not going to try to replicate his moves. I know my limitations. But I will be following his lead and exercising at home. Because it's better to play it safe, literally, these days. I'm Ina Kimes, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.